as a place of rest. And I'm thankful tonight that Mount Ararat can not only be places, but it can be people. God has Mount Ararats out there, folks that we can hold on to, folks that we can find stability in, security in, that help us, that we can draw strength from, people and places. God provides Ararats out there for us. I'm very thankful for that. We also talked about Mount Moriah and how Mount Moriah was a mountain of sacrifice and how Moriah meant God is my teacher, and the things that God taught Abraham as he went to sacrifice his son on Mount Moriah, and the other things as we look throughout the scriptures that we see that Mount Moriah is involved in. That Mount Moriah is a mountain of sacrifice, and sometimes there are moments and times in our life where we have to sacrifice. God taught Abraham what sacrifice was, what it truly, really was on Mount Moriah. God taught Abraham. He taught Abraham what sacrifice is. He taught him what obedience is. He taught him what faith and trust is. He taught him what provision is. God taught Abraham a lot of things on Mount Moriah. Also, we talked about Mount Horeb and discussed a little bit about how Mount Horeb is called the mountain of God. And because Mount Horeb is the mountain of God, there's a lot of things that Mount Horeb is representative as, because God is represented by many different things, many different characteristics he has. And so Mount Horeb, we talked about, was a mountain of service, how God called Moses from Mount Horeb and worked in his life and done great things in him. Now, what are some other things that we see in the scriptures as we talk about the mountains of the Bible and talk about what these different mountains mean and different things that happen on these mountains? What are some things that we can see? Well, we also see that here in Exodus chapter 32, and as we look at verse 31, we see that this very same mountain that God called Moses, Mount Horeb, this very same mountain was not just a mountain of service, but this called a service, but this mountain was also, we see it as a mountain of intercession. Now let's take a look at it, Exodus chapter 32, and let's take a look at verses 30 and following. The Bible says, "It came to pass on the morrow that Moses said, unto the people you have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up unto the Lord, peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin, and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book." Now we see there in just a few verses how we see that Mount Horeb was a mountain of intercession. It was a place where Moses went when he went to intercede for the people of Israel. They had gotten away from God. They had made them a golden calf. And so what did Moses do? The Bible shows us that Moses, he goes back up to the mountain. And he intercedes for his people. He goes to God on behalf of the people. And so we see that Mount Horeb is not just a mountain of call to service, but Mount Horeb is also seen here as a mountain of intercession where Moses went and interceded for the people. Now let me ask you this tonight. Are you interceding for someone this evening? Is there somebody in your life, is there somebody that you know that you need to be interceding for? Do you need to go up to that mountain of intercessory prayer? Do you need to ascend that mountain and get on your knees before an almighty God and intercede for someone that may be in your life or someone that you just know about tonight? What did we do? Whenever we talked about all the prayer requests and then we sat down and we began to pray, what did we do? We went to the mountain of intercessory prayer and we got on our knees before an almighty God and we said, God, these are some folks that need your help. These are some folks that are going through some things and Lord, we call them out and we say, God, we need you to move in their life. We need you to move in their bodies and we need you to help them spiritually. Who are you interceding for tonight? There should be someone in our life or many in our life that we should be interceding for tonight, because this world is a whole lot more than just us. There's a lot of things to be interceding about tonight. There's a lot we need to be interceding for our young people. We see that in the news all over the place. We need to be interceding for our schools, interceding for our president, interceding for our country, on our knees going to the mountain of prayer and interceding for people that are lost, you know, praying for folks to get saved. How many of us go to the intercessory mountain of prayer? How often do we go? Do we only go there every once in a while? Do we go there every day? I mean, do we live a life dwelling on this mountain of intercessory prayer? Moses, he went to this mountain. He said, you know what? He said, y'all have gotten away from God. Y'all have sinned. And so what I'm going to do is because I love you, because I care about you, I'm going to go to the God of heaven. I'm going to go back up on Mount Horeb, and I'm going to speak to God, just me and him, and I'm going to intercede for you that it could be that God just forgive you and help you in your life. And he even said, hey, Lord, if it's possible, just blot me out. Wow. Think about that. He says, Lord, if it's possible, just blot me out of your book that you've written. That right there shows how much Moses cared about those people. Even though they were a fickle people, even though they were a complaining people, and even though there were many different types of things, Moses cared about them and Moses loved them. And he went to the mountain of intercessory prayer for them because he knew that God was the one that could do anything about it. And so he went to the mountain of intercessory prayer. Do you know somebody tonight that needs to be prayed for? Do you know somebody tonight that needs to be prayed about? Whether it's a physical problem or whether it's a spiritual battles that they're facing in life, there are folks that need us to ascend the mountains of intercessory prayer and go to God on their behalf. There is people out here, they're dying, they're lost, they're on their way to a devil's hell. We think about our community. We look around us and we think about our community and we see the things that everybody's going through and things that people are getting involved in. We need to go to the mountain of intercessory prayer and pray for Evington. Amen. Pray that people in Evington would get their hearts right. Pray that people in Campbell County would get their hearts right. Pray that people in Campbell County or Evington, that God would stir up something in their hearts, that they would be revived in their souls, and they'd have a desire to seek the face of God, a desire to repent of their sins, a desire to go to a good Bible-believing church, wherever it's at, that God would stir people's hearts. There's a lot of things to pray about. And here we see that Moses ascended the mountain of intercessory prayer. Are we ascending that mountain of intercessory prayer? How often are we praying? How often are we going to this mountain to pray for one another? How often are we ascending this mountain to pray for folks that we know are lost and folks that are hurting? Whenever we went to, not long ago, I went to a men's conference up on the other side of the mountain over in Stanton. And I went over there, and Brother Kenny Baldwin was preaching, and some other guys were preaching, and we broke up into groups, and men were getting together and praying. And they said, "Men, do you have anything to pray about? Do you have anything to pray about? And you have anything to pray about?" And we had split up in groups of about 20 to 30 men apiece, and we were just all over the church. And as I was sitting here in this group and men were talking about this and praying about this and somebody would, a man would bring this up and they'd pray about that and a man would bring this up and pray about that and I had some things on my heart that I needed to get out, that I needed some people to pray for. And so I said, yes, I got this that I need you to pray about. And so they all, what do? We all lifted it up together as men of God. We all lifted it up together before the Lord and we interceded for these situations. We interceded on behalf of these people that needed God's help. And so we see the mountain of intercessory prayer. How often do we ascend this mountain of intercessory prayer? Because there's a lot of things to pray about tonight. So not only do we see the Mount Horeb was a mountain of intercessory prayer. Not only was Mount Horeb seen as a mountain that is a call to service because it is the mountain of God, but we also see that Mount Horeb is also a mountain of refuge. Mountain of refuge. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. And we're going to look at verse 8. We're going to begin there, 1 Kings chapter 19. We're going to begin there in verse 8. And we're going to see that this very same mountain that God called Moses from, this very same mountain that Moses then went back up to later on to intercede for his people, is the very same, this very same mountain that God gave his instruction, that God gave the Ten Commandments, this mountain of guidance, this mountain of instruction, the very same mountain is the very same mountain that Elijah in turn went running to later on in his life. Now let's take a look at it. 1 Kings chapter 19. And let's take a look at verse 8. Notice, the Bible says, and he arose. So he's running from Jezebel. And the Bible says he arose, he did eat and drink, and he went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mountain of God. The very same mountain that Moses was at. The very same one where he interceded for God's people. The very same mountain where the Ten Commandments come from. And the Bible says, and he came thither unto a cave. And he lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said to him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And so we see that this mountain of this Mount Horeb was also a mountain of refuge. God's place, God's mountain was not only a place of service, a call to service. God's mountain was a place of instruction, a place of guidance, a place of intercessory prayer, but God's mountain was also a place of refuge. And whenever we see Elijah on the run for his life, we see that he ran for 40 days and 40 nights. And the Bible says that he come here to Mount Horeb. And when he got to Mount Horeb, the Bible says he found a cave there. And the notice the Bible says there in verse 9, he got in that cave and he lodged there. He said, you know what, I need to get away. I need to escape. Life's just going crazy and I just need to get away from everything. And he took off running. And the Bible says that he lodged there. He spent the night. He dwelt there. And notice while he was there, the word of the Lord came to him. Well, the word of the Lord, he was on Mount Horeb. I mean, it seems to me like he run there hoping and praying that God would give him some kind of word, that God would do something. He ran to the mountain of God. What better place is there to go whenever we are in trials? What better place is there to go whenever we're hurting and we don't know what to do? The Bible says that he run to the mountain of God, and this mountain of God became a refuge for him. The mountain of God became a refuge for him. Let me ask you this. What are you running from tonight? And now Elijah, he took off running from Jezebel. And Elijah goes running. He's running from Jezebel. And he goes up to this mountain, gets out of the will of God. And he goes and he dwells there in this cave. Out of the will of God. Let me ask you this. What are you running from tonight? Is there something in your life you're running from? Are you running from fear? Are you afraid of something? Are you running from fear? Are you running from worry? Are we running from that? Or what is it in our life that we are running from? Are we running from people? Are we running from difficult situations? You know, what is it that we're running from tonight? Is there something in your life that you're running from? Maybe you're running from a past. Maybe you're running because you're afraid of the future. What is it that we're running from tonight? Whatever it is you're running from, understand this. The Bible says that there's a mountain you can go to, and this is Mount Horeb. And when you go to Mount Horeb, when you go there, the Bible shows us that it's a place of refuge. And when you go to that place of refuge, God's going to speak to your heart. The Bible says, showed us here, that when he got there, notice, the Bible says that God spoke to him there in verse 9. And the Bible says, behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down the altar, slain your prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And so he poured his heart out to God on Mount Horeb. Whatever it was that was bothering him, whatever it was that was on his heart, he poured it out to God. He went to Mount Horeb and he poured it out to God because he knew that Mount Horeb is a place of guidance. It is a place of direction. It is a place that it is a place of service. It is a place of refuge. And so he knew, I think in my heart, I think he knew that. See, he could have run to any other mountain, but what did he do? He ran to Mount Horeb. He run to Mount Horeb because in his heart, I believe he knew that if he went to Mount Horeb, that he would be safe. If he went to Mount Horeb, he would find some refuge. And that's what he did. And then God came along and he began to speak to his heart. And so what is it? What is it that we may be running from tonight? Are we running from a certain sin in our life? Are we running? What is it? We're different situations in life that we may be facing. What is it that we are running from tonight in our life? And if you're running, understand this, whatever it is. You're running from life situations. You're running from people, running from sin, running from the devil, running from the world. Whatever it is you're running from, just understand that there is a mountain that you can go to. A mountain that you can go to that will provide refuge. A mountain you can go to that will provide cover. A mountain that you can go to where you can find rest. A mountain that you can go to where you'll find direction and guidance. A mountain that you can go to find God, to get with God, and let God speak to your heart. The Bible says here, shows us here, Mount Horeb, this place that he ran to. It was a place of refuge for him in his life. But Mount Horeb was a great place that he needed in his life at this time. What else do we see? Look over at 1 Kings chapter 18. And just turn over just a little bit. You look at 1 Kings chapter 18. What is another mountain that we see right here? We just talked about Mount Horeb, where Elijah run to for refuge. But what's the other mountain we see? We look just a little bit over. We see a mountain called Mount Carmel. You say, well, what is Mount Carmel? What does that represent? Well, Mount Carmel is, of course, a mountain of victory. Hey, oftentimes after the mountain of victory, sometimes after those highs, we have some big lows. And so we see right here that after he had the mountain of victory, he ended up going to a mountain of refuge. Because sometimes we have those mountains and valleys in our life, and sometimes we get up on top and we're there for a little bit, and then the next thing you know, the devil tries to kick something out from underneath us and he puts us all the way back down. And so we see the kind of same thing happen here. He was on the mountain of victory, had a tremendous victory up there, and then next thing you know, he ended up going down to the mountain of Horeb. But we see here in 1 Kings chapter 18, we see Mount Carmel, a mountain of victory. And you say, what was so victorious about this that Elijah had in his life? I mean, there are, praise God for the mountains of refuge that we can go to and find this safety and all of this. But hey, praise God for these mountains of victories that we can have. Anybody ever had some mountainous victories in your spiritual life? Hey, praise the Lord for that. Oh, yeah. And so praise God for these mountains of victory that we are able to enjoy. And the Bible says Elijah, he goes up on top of that hill. The Bible says he gets on top of Mount Carmel, and he all by himself, him and God, he goes to battle with 450 false prophets. He goes to battle with 450 prophets of Baal. Him and God make the majority. And so as he goes to battle with them, what did Elijah do? He began to pray. And as we see his prayer, let's take a look at verse 36. And the Bible says, it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and he said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. He begins to pray there in verse 37. He says, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And so what did Elijah do? The Bible shows us here that Elijah, he got up on Mount Carmel. He got up there. He was by himself, him and God. He went to battle against 450 false prophets of Baal. He went against them all. And the Bible says that he began to pray on top of this mountain. He began to pray for God to do something. He began to pray for God to move in a tremendous way. He began to pray for God to do the impossible, because what he asked them to do, when he said, pour water all over, no, pour more water on. He asked him to do all this stuff. It was literally impossible for that stuff to light up. It was literally impossible for that sacrifice to be consumed. And so he was praying for God to do something that nobody had ever seen. Let me ask you this. How many of us here tonight are praying for God to do something nobody's ever seen? How many of us woke up this morning and said, God, I pray that you'll do something great in our country, in our community, in our church people. Something awesome that nobody's ever even seen. Don't raise your hand, because I don't want nobody to be embarrassed. But how many of us woke up this morning and asked God that? How many of us woke up this morning and prayed for God to do something tremendous, something nobody's ever, prayed for God to do something inside of me that was impossible? And that's what he did. He got up on Mount Carmel and he prayed and he asked God to do something that nobody had ever seen. He said, God, I want you to do something so that everybody knows that you're the God of heaven. How many of us got up this morning? How many of us have prayed any time this week and said, God, I want you to do something so tremendous that the whole church, that the whole community, that the whole world knows that you're the God of heaven? And that's one of the things that we lack in Christianity today, is folks praying like Elijah and asking God to do things that nobody's ever seen. Sometimes I think we think we've lived long enough, we've experienced everything there is to see. And then you start reading the Bible and you see there's a lot of things you've never seen. There's a lot of things you've never got to experience. Is it that we can't have it today? Is it we can't see it today? Nah. Man, God can, the same God that brought those revivals back then, the same God that saved those people back then, the same God do it today. We just got to have a desire in our hearts to want it. We gotta get on that mountain. How long are we going to keep going in our life? How long are Christians, just in general, are they going to keep going in their life being satisfied with a defeated life or being satisfied with just the norm? How long are Christians going to keep going that way? Just satisfied with the day, satisfied with this and satisfied with that. When are we going to get excited about asking God to do something nobody's ever seen? And that's what he did. He got up on Mount Carmel and he prayed that for God to do something nobody's ever seen. You know what he did? God shook the world. God shook that mountain and did something nobody's ever seen before. That's exactly right. Something that was impossible. Something that was impossible. Something that the prophets could not explain. The government couldn't explain. The king couldn't explain. The whole territory, the whole area, nobody could explain it. Why? Because Elijah said, God, do something so that everybody will know that you're God. Not so they'll know that who I am, but God, do something so that everybody knows that you're God. That you're God. Not that I'm the one that fought the prophets, and not that I did anything, but God, do something so that everybody knows who you are. Do something great. Do something awesome. And so he ascended Mount Carmel, this mountain of victory. God began to move because of his faith, and God began to do great things. And he said there in verse 37, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that the people may know that thou art the Lord God. He wanted God's attention because he wanted everybody to see who God is, not who he was. He wanted everybody to see who God is. He says, Lord, hear me, Lord, hear me. I want God to hear me when I pray. I want God to hear me when I say, God, I want you to do things that nobody's ever even seen. God, I want you to do a miracle in my life. I want you to do things in me. I want you to do things in my church, and my church people. I want you to do things in the community. I want you to do things in these other churches all around here, because we're all on the same team. Amen. Do things all around that everybody can see that you're God. Ask for God to do something tremendous. Ask for God to perform a miracle. Ask for God to do something that just blow the minds of the whole world. Something nobody can explain. And God did. And why did God do it? Because one person asked for it. Because one person had enough fire in their heart to ask for God to do something. That's why. And he did it. He did it. And he asked for it in faith. He asked out of obedience and trust. And the Bible says that he prayed. And he prayed for fire to descend from heaven. And the Bible says there in verse 38, then the fire of the Lord fell. It wasn't the fire of anybody else. It was the fire of God. And the Bible says there in verse 38, then the fire of the Lord fell. How many of us are praying for God to send some fire? Amen.
How many of us are praying that God would send a fire of revival in our hearts, a fire revival that would sweep through the whole land? That God would stir us up. That God would stir up the talents and the abilities and the spiritual gifts that he has given us. How many of us are praying that God will send a fire that will change the world? A fire that will change the church? A fire that will change us? How many of us are praying for that? He prayed for it. You know what happened when he prayed for it? He got victory. And God sent a fire. And God sent a fire. And he changed lives. He changed hearts. He changed the world. He changed it so much so that it made history, because we're reading about it right here. So much so that it made history. You say, preacher, you mean to tell me that you think my little prayer can make a dent in history? I think your little prayer can make history. That's what I think. You just got to have that fire within you to pray it. That fire within you to ask for it. That you have to have that something inside of you that says, you know what? I'm tired of just living the same old thing all the time. I'm tired of just being satisfied with this. I'm not saying, hey, I know the Bible says be content. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about asking God to continue to do something. Continue to do this. And Lord, do this and do this. Asking God to move and do great things. Hey, there's nothing wrong with continue to ask God to do great things. Yeah. Hey, I don't want to be just satisfied. Man, I want to have everything that God desires. I want to have everything that God wants for us. And the Bible shows us right here that he prayed. And God heard his little prayer. He didn't pray that long. You can pray his prayer in just a few seconds. And he prayed this prayer in just a few seconds, and God sent fire down from heaven and done something nobody's ever seen. And he changed hearts. He changed lives. His little prayer made history. How many of us are praying for revival? How many of us are praying for changed lives? How many of us are praying for people to repent and get their hearts right with God and get saved? How many of us are praying that our churches across the world would change? Or are we just satisfied with our life? Are we just satisfied with how Christianity is? Are we just satisfied with getting up in the morning and, you know, coming and sitting down on a pew? And are we just satisfied? Or do we really want something? Do we want to see God do something? The Bible shows us here, Elijah, he was looking for victory despite the circumstances, despite all the people that were against him, despite the impossibility. The world says, look, there's no way that's going to catch on fire. And look what you've done to it. How in the world is that ever going to be consumed? How's that ever going to happen? He prayed one prayer, and it was gone. Done. Yeah. He had faith. He put his faith and he put his trust in the Lord, and God honored that. How many of us are asking for something? Hey, there may be some people not asking for anything. How many of us have gone this week not asked God for nothing? How many of us have gone from Sunday to Wednesday night and not even prayed and asked God for anything? There's a lot of God's people, I believe, that have probably went from Sunday even to Wednesday and probably not even have even lifted their so much as their voice to heaven. How many of us are asking for something? How many of us not asking for anything? How many of us are praying that God would send fire in our hearts? How many of us are praying that God would do such a great work in us that nobody's ever even seen before? I think sometimes we can get so satisfied with our own life. We can sometimes, I think, even get satisfied with our own accomplishments. We think, oh, well, I've done this, we've done that. How much greater can it be? Oh, I don't know. Why don't you ask? Like Elijah, you may be the one, you just may be the one that God's asking to send it. Revival just may come through you. The world may come, the world may change because of your prayer. The church may change because of your prayer. The community may change because of your prayer. It was one man that prayed. Just a few seconds. He prayed. God honored it. God blessed it. done something the world's never seen before. It made history, and it is preached and talked about many, many times. And you may be the very one that God's looking for to start that prayer. It may be you. So that's another thing we see that Mount Horeb is. Mount Horeb is a mountain of victory. And I don't know about you tonight, but I like being on the mountains of victory. I like being there. And that's where I want to be. And I want with all my heart to pray that God would send something inside of me, and God would send something inside my church and move in such a tremendous way, such a blessing, such a miracle, that God would do something in this church and God would do something in my life so tremendous and so great in my people that nobody's ever even seen it. You say, oh, preacher, that's crazy. Maybe that's why it's not happened yet. Maybe that's why it's not happened yet. Oh, preacher, you really think that's going to happen? I mean, we think about all the churches around, you know. You really think that God would look at our church and do something that nobody's ever seen before that's so great? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And maybe the reason why he's not is because we don't think he will. Amen? Don't believe it ain't going to happen. What's that story about the drought everybody was going through and was having a really hard time? They began to pray for rain on Sunday, and man, the sky was just as blue as can be, not a cloud in the sky. And an old lady was getting out of her car, and she had her umbrella with her, and a guy looked at her, and he said, hey, what are you doing with that umbrella? Well, we prayed for rain, didn't we? Yeah, but there's not a cloud in the sky. She says, yes, but I think there will be. Yeah, even when you don't see it, you're still ready for it because you believe it's going to happen. And I think God can do it. We just got to believe it's going to happen. And we got to desire it. We got to want it. When he prayed for fire to fall from heaven, he had a desire in his heart for it to happen. He wanted to see it. He wanted to see it. And God did. And God heard his voice. And God did some tremendous things. And your prayer can do the very same thing. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this evening. We thank you, Lord, for these mountains that, what a blessing they are. The things that we see in the scriptures, they talk about these tremendous mountains. Lord, it's been such a blessing to me. Lord, as we think about these mountains we've covered tonight, Lord, we think about the mountain of refuge. How, God, you provided a place of refuge for Elijah to go. And Lord, you sheltered him and you spoke with him and you gave him guidance and you gave him direction.